Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. Hope you are doing well. And this is your host, Jim Masters. Thanks so much for joining us. A real pleasure to have you here on the program. Also a pleasure to welcome veterinarian Natalie Punt to the show. She is in La Jolla, California. She is an emergency veterinarian dedicated to the care and treatment of dogs and cats and occasionally treating even guinea pigs and hamsters. She's been licensed in 14 states and founder of Petium Veterinary Services, LLC. Natalie graduated from UC Davis with a degree in microbiology, and she received her DVM from Western University College of Health Sciences. Says her work is focused on emergency medicine, providing life-saving treatments for sick or injured pets, primarily dogs and cats, as well as other small animals such as hamsters and rabbits and turtles. As a relief veterinarian, her services are unique because she works at numerous hospitals across the nation seeing animals that need emergency medicine. And when she's working against the clock in life-threatening cases, rest assured your pet is in excellent hands. As a huge animal lover, you know, it's important, she says, more than ever, that the best outcome for them and their families is what is achieved. Natalie loves working with animals. She's working to make improvements in the veterinary profession as well. She created a smartphone app called MPet for pet owners to store, manage, and transfer their pets' medical records and health information. This enables pet owners to access medical records anytime, anywhere from their smartphone. That is so ingenious. I think it's the first time I've ever heard this. You know, they're doing it for us humans, and they're still trying to catch up. But I think it's a revolutionary idea that she's created here for pets. Fantastic. She echoes the quote, "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated." That is so true. Animals heal us, and her mission is to continue to not only save lives, the lives of our pets, but to continue to make change in the field that will enable practitioners to make faster diagnoses and more accurate prognosis and help us all move forward. Revolutionary work she's doing, and we're so honored to have her here on the show. This is Jim Masters, and our special guest, Natalie Punt, joins us right now. Natalie, thank you very much for joining us here on the program. Welcome to the show, and I wonder, a little snow happening in California. I think you guys are a little chillier than we are here on the East Coast and the Northeast. Snow in California. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Jim, and thank you so much for that wonderful, very thoughtful introduction. I really appreciate it. Thank you. There is a little bit. I'm in Southern California right now, and we do see snow on the mountains. So we are we're a little bit a little bit going on both polar margins of the overall weather spectrum, and going through and seeing our nice beaches, and then also seeing snow. So I'm not too sure how this weekend's going to play out.
It's interesting, right? Got to keep those animals nice and warm as well. Always think about the love and care of the animals. I'd love to know, first, what inspired you to go into this work? You know, everybody has their own life's journey and different things that point them in the direction of the work they end up doing, which is hopefully work they're passionate about and that they love. For you, what is it about animals, nature, that you love so much to the point that you acquired all the training and credentials and became a veterinarian?
You know, I think it was just seeing a place where there was just a need for people, you know? There's a need for people to go through and be able to develop themselves and develop skills to be able to enhance it. I grew up on a ranch, and we had a lot of animals, and just the medicines and the treatments that I was seeing being used to take care of our sick animals, it just, to me, just felt so antiquated and something that just needed a lot of work to be done. And I felt that, you know, if there's something that I could possibly do with my life and be able to dedicate it to, I could learn skills and techniques and knowledge to try to improve a certain area that did need a lot of improvement. And I feel pretty fortunate to have been able to kind of make that into my overall career.
That's fantastic. Tell us about your work as a relief vet. That sounds fascinating.
It's fun. To say it's fascinating is kind of just the tip of the iceberg. It's a really interesting space to occupy right now. And I think there has to be a couple of different personality attributes that can make you successful in that field. I'm sure some people, if they've taken their pets to the veterinarian, they realize that veterinarian hospitals right now are woefully underemployed. So there's a huge need for veterinarians and veterinary nurses and veterinary assistants and support staff. And so if you go into a vet hospital, there's probably not enough people helping that hospital. And so as a relief veterinarian, I can go into different hospitals and be able to work there and help out. And because there's such a high need for it, I can do it across the nation. This has given me a really good opportunity to go through and see how different hospitals work, how different hospitals operate, how different corporations go through and view their system, what their place is within the system. So it's given me a pretty interesting perspective into veterinary medicine, the overall field. And then, of course, I get to work with all sorts of different veterinarians, able to work with some of the best specialists in the nation and kind of just shape my own little veterinary profession, if you will.
That's fantastic. Yeah, you sound so incredibly passionate about it all, which I think is fantastic. You know, the pandemic has shifted a lot of different things. How, from your perspective, has the pandemic shifted the standards of veterinarian care?
Well, that's a fascinating question. So even before the pandemic, there was starting to come little murmurs of pet owners wanting or expecting, well, more likely expecting a higher level of treatment, a higher level of care. And as veterinarians, we were starting to feel that influence and that higher level of standards from pet owners across the nation. It wasn't until the pandemic happened that we started understanding exactly where and how we should shift and what type of services that pet owners are going to be asking for. So that's one of the biggest things that came across, that going through and providing a higher level of medicine to pet owners and being able to go through and get not only our skills and techniques, but also the way we delivered it to operating more efficiently and also more thoughtfully, being tailored to each pet and pet owner. A lot of things that we do, and I don't think most people really truly appreciate that, but a lot of the medicine that we practice, particularly in specialty hospitals and on the emergency room, is at a level that's very much equal to human medicine. Granted, if your pet has a very unique disease that requires extensive treatment, we may not be able to do all that just because we are limited to the amount of, just because it can be financially prohibitive, but we can go through and do preliminary treatments and cares for about 85% of things at a level of human medicine.
It's really important, and it's fascinating to know this. As I mentioned in the introduction, you've created this very cool phone app. Tell us about it.
Okay, so MPet is a smartphone app that you can use to store, manage, and transfer your pet's medical records. I organized it the way that a veterinarian would go through and think about organizing medical records. So you have little files or little places where you can go through and put each of your pet's specific types of medical records, whether it's through your general practitioner or if your pet has to go to a specialist like a cardiologist or a neurologist or the dermatologist. There's little sections where you can go through and organize your pet medical records into that. You can store your lab work results. You can store radiograph images, CT images if you have those. And there's also other aspects of the app too. You can order medications, pet foods, supplements through an online pharmacy that's linked into it. Granted, some medications need to be prescribed by a veterinarian. So a request for a prescription will be prompted by the app. But you can also receive reminders to give medications And then also reminders when vaccines are due as well. A few more things. For some of our more geriatric pets or pets that are in hospice, there's a quality of life journal where you can record on a daily basis, like, how is your pet doing? How many times has it vomited today? Is it having diarrhea? How's the appetite on a scale of 1 to 10? How's the energy levels on a scale of 1 to 10? And then also feel the kind of subjective questions, like, are they enjoying, how is their day today? The app also goes through and is linked to Google Maps, so you can locate pet service providers in the area. So if you are looking for a veterinarian or a dog walker or a pet store, the app can locate those for you too.
It's really revolutionary, absolutely amazing on so many different levels. From your perspective, how can we all really improve animal welfare in this country, since there are so many concerns about animal cruelty? What are your thoughts on that?
I think, so unfortunately, animal cruelty does exist in certain parts of the country. But I think as we become more educated and more aware of what our place is in society and the role that animals play in society, and hopefully become to better terms with ourselves, animal cruelty or that redirection of personal frustrations won't be taken out on other things like animals. So hopefully animal cruelty will become an outdated thing. But I don't know. I hope so, at least. But I think one big thing to think about is to go through and be more aware of the number of animals that are out there too, and not just go through and breed pets for the enjoyment of having puppies or kittens, but be aware that if these puppies and kittens need homes, and we only have so many people who can bring these puppies and kittens into their homes and provide them good quality of life. So just like if you're going to have, it's just like with your own kids, you want to make sure that your pets have a good quality of life. So being aware of the number of extra pets out there and just saying, well, let's make sure that each one has a good quality home.
Incredibly important, essential on so many levels. From your perspective, Natalie, how can people and vets sort of work collaboratively to make an emergency visit to the hospital easier for those times when the owners are very anxious and their pets are as well?
That's hard because everybody handles anxieties and fears of the unknown differently. And when you're working with emergency situation, that's very much, those are very pressing and very, very real issues that can arise. So you can't really predict that emergencies are going to happen. So I think if anything, just being patient, having trust in the people, the medical professionals who are trying to help your pet, and just trying to, if you're feeling stressed out, understand that's a natural feeling, and that's totally perfectly fine for you to be able to have those feelings. And if you need to deal with that in your own way, please feel free to do so, but please don't redirect it onto people who are trying to help your pets.
Yeah, oftentimes that happens, yeah. Why do you think there's a vet shortage and we should be greatly concerned? And what can we do to change that?
So the reason why there's a shortage of veterinarians is that because our overall population is growing, and the people who are going through and having pets are going to be the baby boomers, Generation Z, and then also millennials. Right now are the biggest predominant pet owning populations, and they're also a growing population. Essentially, the number of pet owners is outpacing the number of new veterinary graduates. So there's a mismatch between the new veterinarians being graduated versus the pet-owning population. I once calculated that for me to go through and see my share, so if I was going to go through and say, like, I, based upon the number of pets out there right now, the number of veterinarians, if I did my share, if I saw the number of pets that were kind of my share of pets, I would have to work 6 days a week, 12-hour shifts, seeing one pet every 30 minutes. Mm. To be able to see my proportion of pets in the U.S. That's a lot of pets. That's only one time.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So we essentially, the COE, the Council of Education, has limited class sizes for veterinarians. And also at the same time, most vet schools, 28 of the vet schools, there's about 32 vet schools in total in the U.S. 28 of those vet schools are going to be land-grant universities, meaning they're going to be state-sponsored. And the state governments have kind of said that, you know, we don't want to build any more vet schools. We don't really want to go through and be able to, like, do anything to increase the overall class size. So now it's kind of a thing on the public, on the private side, to go through and build new vet schools. And as you can imagine, building a new vet school is pretty expensive. So we are somewhat limited to the number of schools that can produce veterinarians and the overall class size, not to mention the retirement rate of veterinarians as well. So we are kind of, there's not a lot of easy solutions to the shortage of veterinarians.
That's really amazing on so many different levels. I would imagine, too, you know, you can get really attached to the animals. Do you ever have what they call compassion fatigue? And if you do, how do you work through that?
Yeah, compassion fatigue can set in when you just have, sometimes it just happens when you have multiple just really long, hard days back to back and nobody's giving you any slack. Like you can just have one owner after another just not happy with you for whatever reason. It may not even be related to who you are or how you're practicing your medicine. It may just be the owner's having a bad day. And I've had that happen before multiple times. It normally happens around the holidays. or I may be having a staff member who's just having a bad day too. And there's nothing that I've done. It's more related to the people around you and how they're acting. So we have accumulation of multiple bad days. You just don't catch any breaks, and you just don't have any way to give yourself that own sense of relief. How can you go? How do I personally go through and try to avoid it? By having fun at work. I was working yesterday, and my nurses and I were just having a blast playing with pets all night. playing with pets all evening. So we were just having fun and just joking around, and that can really make those long hours and those long late hours and the work go by really easily and just have a lot of fun.
That's great. That's terrific. Having fun is crucial on many levels. What is your outlook then on the vet industry in the future? I mean, can we sort of expect better patient care in terms of technology and maybe some new enhanced ways of treating patients?
You know, that's a great question. And I've been in some pretty high-level specialty hospitals where we have just done everything, like literally everything, to the level of human medicine, even past that, to help a pet, and it doesn't work. And I think we're somewhat limited in certain aspects by the underlying physiology of cats and dogs. So, like, we can't do too much to train that, to change that. But what we can do is do a lot more preventative medicine. And when we do see the onset of certain types of diseases, like diabetes or heart disease, there are new medications that are up and coming. And I'm excited to be able to use those in my own personal practice and see how that translates to my patients having a better quality of life as they change with their diseases. So excited for those. And then also at the same time, too, being more, I think also going through and trying to be, it's hard, I think pet insurance can also be a huge game changer in how much care we can go through and provide to pets.
I think that's great. So there is a lot of hope out there. You know, getting back to the pandemic a little bit, I'm sure you saw a lot of people, there was some neglect. Now with inflation, the cost of everything, some people just are not taking care of the pets, or they become secondary because of costs and food and this, that, and the other. But the pandemic, there was a lot of talk about pets just being let outside and to disappear. That's unfortunate when you hear those kinds of things. When life gets tough, the pets always suffer.
Honestly, I did not see that. I think I saw one patient that was, I was actually working in Delaware at that time, and I was doing relief work at a special hospital in Delaware, and this gentleman brought in his mom's pet, and the poor dog had quite a few things going on. It had a massive skin infection, it had an ear infection, it had cataracts in both eyes, and then it also had some underlying endocrine diseases too. And you could tell the pet was heavily neglected, but this gentleman, during the pandemic, he wanted to go through and have all these concerns addressed, and we were able to. So I saw a lot of pets that just had issues, they were becoming addressed. And it put a huge strain on us because we were already working with this making strains of the pandemic, but then we also saw a huge influx of, gosh, I think our visits almost doubled during the pandemic. There was a huge spike in veterinary visits during the pandemic. And not only for pets with chronic diseases that were now being addressed because nobody had anything to do, so going to the veterinarian was now a source of entertainment. There were also people who were just now starting to become more aware of their pets and certain things about their pets. So I saw a lot more people bringing their pets in to check out little freckles or to go through and check out little masks. Actually had one owner, very sweet. She came in and she thought her dog had a big belly or had a distended belly and that it seemed a little bit different. I'm like, so we went through and did some x-rays of this dog's belly and it turned out the dog was just fat. I'm like, well, that's what happens when you don't look at your pet on a daily basis. Now you have more time to spend. Now you have more time to spend with it. You realize your little fluffy has gained a few pounds.
Mm. That's amazing, huh?
Yeah. It was definitely entertaining.
Yes. You know, looking forward, what are some future plans that you have and things that you hope to accomplish and maybe see within your own practice?
So I would really like to see MPET have more users and to see more widespread adoption of MPET as people start to understand how nice it is to have your pet's medical records directly on their smartphone. I mean, I think it's a tremendous resource. And if you go to any vet hospital or even if you go to an emergency, they're going to ask for your medical records. And if it's after hours, like emergencies often are, or emergencies that happen on the weekend, you can't always contact your veterinarian to have records transferred over. So having MPET or a way for pet owners to store their pet's medical records or carry them all the time would be a big advancement for pet owners and also for veterinarians. In my own personal practice, I think what the things that I would like to accomplish for this year is just to continue learning and trying to practice the very best medicine I possibly can and trying to just increase my sophistication in how I practice medicine and deliver medicine by continuing to learn and practice with the best specialists I possibly can. That's kind of what my goal is for this year.
That's terrific. That's a great goal to have, too, on so many different levels. What would you say to somebody maybe who hasn't brought their pet to a vet in a long time? Unless life gets in the way, life is busy, or they just say, oh, the pet, you know, will work it out on their own. They get illnesses and diseases and things just like we humans do on so many different levels. I would think, you know, if you suspect anything, bring them in, but also on a regular basis, right, for annual checkups, things of that nature.
Yeah, so the overall recommendations are to at least have your vet evaluated by a veterinarian at least once per year. And that's for two reasons. One, to make sure your pet's in good health. If there's anything that's going to be coming to the surface, like any types of new diseases, the earlier we catch it and we can become aware of it, the better we can manage it and understand how it's going to unfold, and then intervene with medications that can overall like enhance or improve the quality of life for your pet. The other thing that you want to consider too is that so our overall governing association is called the American Veterinary Medical Association. Their statement is that for veterinarians to have a relationship with clients, there needs to be at least some type of documentation or some type of physical examination and client communication at least once per year for us to maintain that relationship. So that's another important reason for you to go through and maintain the relationship with your veterinarian, so we can go through and have documentation of that and make it so much easier for us to be able to go through and prescribe you medications.
If folks want to learn more about the app and other things that you're doing, tell us about that. How can they make contact? What's the best way to learn more?
Yeah, so the app is free to download and use. Right now it's free on the App Store. So if you Google MPET, so M as in medical, and then PET, P-E-T, on the App Store, you can find it. It's also free to download and use on Google Play. And same thing, if you go to Google Play and search MPET, you can find it there. You can also go to our website. It goes through and explains the app. You can find links to go through and download the app on that. And there's also some informative articles. The website is mpethealth.org. And that link can take you directly to the website. And if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to go through and message us.
That's tremendous. That's exciting. Again, very revolutionary. I think it's the first I've heard where something like this, where the medical records and things of that nature can be all in one place like this. Mm-hmm. Extraordinary. M, that's the letter M, T, and then the word health, health.org, to learn more about the app, which is really fantastic. Congratulations on everything. I know, again, it comes from unconditional love that you have for what you do and for the animals, and it's extraordinary work. Keep up the amazing work, Natalie, and hopefully we'll get a chance to explore some more, maybe even hear some testimonials from happy customers. Some may meow, some may bark,
yeah.
or their owners. It'll be a pleasure. And it's strange to say stay warm in beautiful La Jolla, but put a log on the fireplace.
It's definitely sweater and sock season.
It's amazing, right? I tell you. Again, congratulations on all, and thanks for stopping by Close Up Radio today. I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I absolutely have with you, Natalie.
Thank you very much, Jim. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. Again, award-winning veterinarian Natalie Punt is with us here on the show, licensed in 14 states, founder of Fitum Veterinary Services, LLC, and again, also check out M, that's the letter M, pethealth.org to learn about an extraordinary, revolutionary app. I think that's really something very cool. This is your host, Jim Masters. It's always cool to have you with us here from around the world listening to these series of extraordinary conversations we have exclusively on our Close-Up Radio series, which is an extension of our Close-Up Television series as well. For all of us here, have a terrific day. We'll be back momentarily with another incredible guest just for you right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, be well. Thanks for listening. We thank Natalie Punt for joining us, and we thank you for joining us as well. Have a terrific day, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.